Coming up, a chat with the head of the International Agency for Research on Cancer. This is the group that actually defines what a carcinogen is. So if you hear something's a carcinogen, these are the people who define it, and they're really concerned about alcohol. So really worth a listen, I think, for anyone who's umming and ahhing in this space.
And this is a study that we're about to talk about, which really might change the way we approach prevention. Well, prevention is a recurrent theme in today's show. The prevention of schizophrenia. So schizophrenia, the first symptoms of schizophrenia tend to happen in late adolescence, but really fulminate in young adulthood. And there's a group of kids who are known to be at high risk. And these are young people who, in early adolescence, who end up in the care of child and adolescent psychiatric services. So they come for all sorts of things. But it turns out when you follow them through time, there is a higher than background risk of them developing schizophrenia. Now, I don't say this to panic parents who are listening whose kids are going to child and adolescent services if they're lucky enough to actually get their kids in because of the waiting lists. But nonetheless, you can identify this group as at higher risk. And this is a fascinating study using data from Finland, where they find that kids who are exposed to an antibiotic used for acne may have a reduced risk of developing schizophrenia in this high-risk group. Let's hear about this from Ian Kelleher, who's Professor of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry at the University of Edinburgh.
The antibiotic in question, doxycycline, and the structurally similar antibiotic, minocycline, are a lot more than just antibiotics. We know from tons of research that they have immune system effects. And in fact, one of the interesting things about doxycycline is it crosses the blood-brain barrier in quite high amounts and seems to be active in the brain. And it seems to have neuroprotective effects, or protects brain cells. And then one really crucial paper that influenced our research, a paper that came from colleagues in Harvard, and what they found was that when they applied minocycline or doxycycline to these brain cells, the amount of a process called synaptic pruning went down.
This is the fundamental process of adolescence, where the overgrown brain of childhood gets pruned into a rosebush.
Exactly. And that means rewiring the brain, essentially. It's a rewiring process. So it's a really sensitive period for brain development. And something we think goes wrong in schizophrenia is that this process gets out of control. There's too much of it. And that results in faulty wiring. And as a result, different parts of the brain are not communicating as clearly. You have these faulty messaging. And as a result, people can misinterpret their thoughts as voices or not think very clearly and start to become a bit paranoid about things. But back to that paper from in Harvard, what they showed was that when they applied minocycline or doxycycline in the lab, the amount of pruning went down.
So you decided to do a natural experiment where you had kids who were at risk of schizophrenia because they were going to adolescent psychiatry services, and then followed them through, and you were able to, because of the Finnish medical record system, follow them through and see who was on doxycycline or other antibiotics or none at all.
Right. So about half of people who developed schizophrenia had come to the adolescent mental health services. And so we were able to identify everyone who had come to the adolescent psychiatry services, and we were able to link that to their prescription records and see everyone who'd been treated with doxycycline. And then we were able to compare them with other patients who'd also come to the adolescent psychiatry services who'd also been treated with antibiotics. It just wasn't doxycycline, and follow them over time to look at the outcome.
And your findings?
Patients who had been treated with doxycycline had about a one-third lower risk of going on to develop schizophrenia than the other patients.
So let's just untangle that. So that's great news. The reason these kids would have been on doxycycline would have been that they've got acne. Could it be that it was the acne at play rather than the doxycycline?
And that's a really important point to consider. So maybe people who seek treatment for acne are, for some reason, less at risk of schizophrenia anyway. So maybe they're more motivated, less of the emerging what we call negative symptoms that you might see even early in people developing schizophrenia, such as not being motivated to look after yourself. And so in this case, we look at, okay, well, if that's true, then it should also be true for other acne treatments. And so we looked at a number of other acne treatments, and we didn't find that. There wasn't a reduced risk of schizophrenia in that group, suggesting it's not explained by that.
What's the translation of this to the clinic? I mean, are you going to have to do a proper trial now to be convinced of this? Is it going to become regular treatment in adolescent psychiatry clinics? as you would know, Australia leads the world in early detection of psychosis and early treatment. Would you actually use it when you've got actually a first episode of psychosis rather than when you're at the risk? Because I noticed from your study that it was only schizophrenic psychosis that it treated, not other forms of psychosis.
You know, it's important to recognize that this is the first study of its kind and we want to replicate this. And so we hope to replicate this in the Danish registers too. You know, there's not a lot of countries that have registries that can rival the Finnish registries, but Denmark is one of the few that can. So we'd like to test this there as well. Ideally, we would run a randomized controlled trial, but actually the practicalities of doing that are really unfeasible. And so what we have to do is to make as much and as most out of the observational data that are available to us as possible.
And to get further down to the cause and effect when you're not actually doing a proper randomized trial, dose and duration make a difference. So if you've got an effect, the longer the young person was on doxycycline, you would expect the more profound the effect and vice versa. Did you find that?
No, we didn't. And interestingly, some research on doxycycline and minocycline suggests that even at low doses, it has longer term effects on the immune system. And so once the body is exposed to minocycline or doxycycline, it may have long term effects on immune cells called microglia in the brain. Now, why that's important is because it's microglia. They're the immune cells that do this pruning of brain cells.
Any evidence of harm?
Well, probably the main reason people were being treated here was for acne. And so these were treatments that were not happening in psychiatric clinics. They were probably being prescribed by general practitioners. I guess one of the strengths I see of doxycycline is that it is generally very well tolerated. I think for most parents, if they would be happy to tolerate doxycycline for the treatment of acne, they would also probably be happy to have a treatment for doxycycline if it could reduce their young person's risk of developing schizophrenia, if they are at increased risk.
Ian, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Ian Keller, who's Professor of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry at the University of Edinburgh. So there's a way to go on this, but it's interesting. I mean, this idea that this antibiotic doxycycline can have more effects on the body than just being an antibiotic is quite profound. And we do talk from time to time, don't we, Priya, about repurposing drugs
yes,
for other things.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Yeah. Beta blockers for triple negative breast cancer and now this. So when you're talking to someone about the pros and the cons, when I am, this is a potential pro, though I would wait for more information in the space.
On ABC Radio National, you're with the Health Report.